Here is a math problem for all of you folks out there. If 20% of China's farmland and 90% of its surface waters are contaminated with toxic heavy metals, and if one-third of the organic food we import into the United States comes from China, then how much of the organic food we eat is contaminated with China's toxic heavy metals?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 967th edition of the Food Chain right here on the GCN Radio Network. Hey, perhaps you're among our friends up there in Montreal who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Aaron Shore on the boards. Hello, Aaron.
Good morning.
Aaron.
Yes.
Do you trust the people who sell you that organic food?
No.
No. Hmm. Well, also with us today, we have producer Kristen Carlson. Kristen, do you trust that organic food?
It depends on the source.
It depends on the source. Okay, folks. We like it clean and we like it cheap. Well, and so we shop at the big box store for organic food. Because we like it cheap, much of the food we buy in the big box stores comes from China, right? Listen to this. Over 4 billion pounds a year, including 100% of the canned snow peas, 80% of the tilapia, 51% of the cod, 50% of the apple juice, 34% of the canned mushrooms, 31% of the processed garlic, and so on and on and on. We eat a lot of food from China. And because we like it clean, we buy food at the big box store that's labeled organic. And about 80% of the food certified and sold as organic is now processed from raw materials imported from countries like China. Now, wait a minute. All this cheap organic food we buy at the big box stores does not conform with Michael Olson's third law of the food chain, which is cheap food isn't. Well, the government of China recently made an admission that suggests its cheap foods really aren't cheap at all. The government's admission was that 20% of its farmlands and over 90% of its groundwaters are contaminated with toxic heavy metals. Now, we make mention of the government of China's admission because as a totalitarian communist regime, that government owes no ethical considerations to a higher authority, like its own people. Not to God either. Nobody. Nothing. And therefore, it may lie, cheat, and steal at will to further its own interests. So when a totalitarian government of China claims 20% of its farmlands, 90% of its surface waters are contaminated with toxic heavy metals, you know conditions have to be a lot worse than that. So that takes us to our math problem of today. Get out your piece of paper and a pencil. Write it down. If 20% of China's farmland and 90% of its surface waters are contaminated with toxic heavy metals, and if one-third of the organic food we import into the United States comes from China's raw materials, then how much of the organic food we eat is contaminated with China's toxic heavy metals? Well, we have assigned this question to UC intern producer Anna Ringelman, who has rounded up a guest and a story for us today. Anna, what do you think? You're a senior at UC Santa Cruz, right? A senior?
Yes, I am.
You're a student of environmental studies?
Mm-hmm.
You can't say mm-hmm. You have to say, yes, that's what I am. Okay, good. You're also a young mom, which means you have a youngster to take care of, right?
I do.
Okay. That would probably mean that you pay attention to the food you eat, correct?
I certainly do.
You certainly do. What did you think, Miss Anna, as you started to peel the onion skins off this story here?
I was just more and more shocked seeing the full scope of the problem. It's organic food. It's also just food. It's everything we're eating. And how do you tell what food it is if you know, there's a lot of constraints to the labeling of where the food is coming from. So it's just really the question of how do you know?
Okay. And you have a guest for us today who knows a lot about this.
Yes, I do. Today we have Patty Lavera, the Assistant Director of Food and Water Watch, with us.
Hello, Patty. Are you there?
Yes. Hi.
Welcome aboard. Welcome to the food chain.
Thanks.
Good morning, Patty.
Morning.
Go ahead.
So today, just kind of starting off, I'd just like to ask you, why is the United States importing so much food from China? It's over 4 billion pounds a year, I believe.
Yeah, and that's all food. I mean, we're import, doesn't matter, you know, conventional, organic, we import a lot of food, and we do import especially a lot of conventional food from China, and you heard some of the statistics in the beginning. You know, it, for all, we import a lot of seafood and fish. We import a lot of fruits and vegetables from China, especially ones, not necessarily fresh fruits and vegetables, but things that are frozen or processed in some way. And then we import a lot of almost hidden ingredients, hidden foods. So things like artificial vanilla or the vitamin C that goes in a lot of things as preservatives, things like that. And people might remember that became an issue a while back when American pets were getting sick from their pet food because there was, there was adulteration in the gluten that was added to their pet food. Nobody thinks about the source of gluten, right? Nobody thinks about the source of artificial vanilla, but we're importing a lot of ingredients like that across the food supply, not mostly in conventional, actually. We import a lot of stuff from China, and the bottom line is because it's a cheap source for those products. And we're, our policies at this point really promote this trade over safety and over a lot of these concerns. And so, you know, there's big fights right now about new trade agreements that would bring even more food into the U.S. from a whole long list of countries.
So why is China's food cheaper than U.S. food?
Well, there's a bunch of reasons. I mean, a lot of stuff that's made in China is cheaper than it's made here. Labor, what workers get paid is a huge piece of that. But we also worry that it's because of the conditions there. And we worry that it's because the standards, if they have them, aren't being enforced as well as they are here, or that no one's checking. And so all of that kind of adds up to turning it into kind of a cheaper platform to produce food and manufactured goods and lots of other things we've seen in our economy, right? So for one example, there's a proposal right now. It's been at USDA for a long, long time. We've been trying to block it because we don't want it to happen. But there's a proposal to allow chickens to be raised in the United States. We raise a huge number of chickens here. We are not short on chickens. We have plenty. But they would raise the chickens here, kill them, ship them to China to process them into soup or nuggets or whatever, and then send that product back. For that to make any sense economically, the costs to process it there have to be an awful lot lower, and that happens with some fish as well. So it really is a kind of a combination of just all of their operating costs being a lot less than here.
Well, Patty, I just have to ask, about going back to the reason why we import here, because it seems so silly that China has 5 times more people than we have here in the United States on approximately 1/5 the arable land that we have here in the United States. So it just seems so bizarre that a country so hungry would sell food to a country so capable of growing food.
I think bizarre is the right word. I think you hit it on the head with the word bizarre. I mean, the economics of global food trade really aren't very logical if you're using common sense, about who needs what and who is capable of producing what. So at the same time that China is exporting a lot of food to countries like the U.S., they're also importing a lot of food. We export raw materials, corn and soybeans and things to China. There's a big, big, big buzz in the agricultural media right now about how hungry China is for meat and dairy and how we should scale up our, industrialized, really big livestock operations. We should make them even bigger to send dairy and to send pork to China because they're desperate for more protein. And so it just begs the question, why are we moving all this food around in all these different directions? And, we think the bottom line is that there's very large food companies, really, that are multinational at this point, and they just look for whatever advantage they can find to figure out the cheapest place to produce something and how to move it someplace where they can get more for it. And it's really about their benefit and not anybody else's.
So when you look at how increasingly China is importing they're exporting food to other countries, why do you think China's government admitted to how polluted its environment is?
Oh, you got to hold that question, but that's the big question, Patty. Why did China, a totalitarian communist regime, fess up to having its country so incredibly desecrated that it can no longer grow food on a chunk of land the size of Belgium? Simply mind-boggling what happened to China, which is where we're buying a lot of food, folks. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson, producer Anna Ringelman today with Patty Levera from Food and Water Watch, and you're invited to participate. What do you think your organic food comes from? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. This is The Food Chain. Right back. Do stay tuned.
Get this. You can earn a 5-, 6-, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
You can be old or young.
Rich or poor.
Married or single.
You can own land outright.
Or lease it year to year.
You can grow small fruits on prairie bench lands.
Houseplants in coastal valleys.
Flowers on steep wooded hillsides.
Vegetables in the city green belts.
And ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
Get all the help you need to get growing at MetroFarm.com.
Get the complete guide to growing high-value specialty crops for the city at MetroFarm.com.
Get experts to look at your land and assess which crops to grow at MetroFarm.com.
Get advice on how to plan and develop your project at MetroFarm.com.
And get news about the business of farming for the city.
Yes, you can earn a 5-, 6-, or even a 7-figure income by farming high-value specialty crops on a small parcel of land in or near the city.
Grow for the money today at MetroFarm.com. That's MetroFarm.com.
Well, holy smokes. The government of China recently fessed up to the fact that its country is an absolute disaster area. Not a little disaster area, a major catastrophic environmental catastrophe. 20% of the farmland now contaminated with toxic heavy metals. So much farmland contaminated that it can't be used for growing food anymore. Water, toxic, 80-90% of its surface water contaminated. You know, up until a few years ago, up until 10 years ago, get this, only 5% of the household waste and 17% of the industrial waste was even treated. All the rest of it dumped into the river. What's the question we have on the table?
The question currently is, if China is selling us so much food, then why did China's government admit to the desecration of its environment?
Patty?
It's the million-dollar question. I think there's probably a bunch of things that have converged. I mean, from what we have to read what comes out of China in English. In Water Watch, we don't have anybody who speaks the language, but there's more and more, English media, English language media coming out talking about the growing concern of most of the population of China is really concerned about environmental quality and the related issue of food quality that's grown in that environment. So maybe they're trying to finally kind of catch up with what their citizens know. And they realize they kind of have to start to have that conversation. More and more and more is coming out about people are very, very concerned, and they see it. We've all seen these stories about air quality and, the days where people can't go outside in various cities there. So I think they can't really hide it anymore either. It's pretty obvious that it's many decades of really pushing the economy so hard and really pushing manufacturing has taken its toll. And then I think there's also a push to import more food into China. And maybe, I don't know this, but maybe they're trying to justify bringing more food in and saying, we need to do this. There is a controversy, happening right now where some U.S. companies sent U.S. corn to China and it was rejected because it was a type of GMO. It was a specific variety of GMO corn that hadn't been approved for China, and so it was refused, and it might be something about that to say, look, we have to bring in these imports. You know, we have to, maybe they're going to be more lax about what their standards are, about what they bring in from us. So there's a lot of theories you could have about it.
Wow. But a huge impact, though, on the foods being, what's in the foods?
It's a good question. I mean, we get little bits of information that are incomplete for a couple of reasons. It's very hard to go get the data about what we're bringing in. That's particularly true for organic. We just started to track organic imports a few years ago, and we don't have good tracking categories for more of these processed foods. We have it more for like whole food, you know, bananas and coffee and rice. We don't have it for, you know, frozen vegetables or canned vegetables or processed foods. So we still have a lot of gaps about what exactly is coming in. And then even worse than that, across the board for all imported food, no matter if it's organic or conventional or whatever, our government is very, very, very overwhelmed by the volume of food coming in, and most of it doesn't get looked at the border. So for meat and poultry, it's one set of rules, and about 10% of that gets a look. But for other foods, for seafood, for produce, processed foods, less than 2% of imported food, no matter where it's from, is going to get looked at by the FDA at the border. And when they do look, the most common problems we see, especially from places like China, are chemicals that aren't supposed to be there, so like pesticide residues that are too high, pathogens, so, you know, salmonella or things like that, the bacteria that can make us sick. And then one specific trend that you see more in China than in other countries is the fancy jargon for it in the regulatory world is economically motivated adulteration, which is a fancy way of saying fraud. So it's somebody put something in there that's not supposed to be there, usually for economic reasons, right? So it's a fake ingredient that's cheaper, or they've recycled. There's been a lot of scandals there about recycling cooking oil that was not supposed to be used anymore because it breaks down. Things like that, where it's economically motivated and it's not the quality it's supposed to be. And sometimes those fake ingredients can be dangerous.
Well, we have some good examples of that. You know, if people want to tune into that, they can Google the China's top 10 food scandals and learn about melamine milk, toxic bean sprouts, pesticide-drenched yard-long beans, leather milk, aluminum dumplings, glow-in-the-dark pork, lean meat, powder pork, toxic takeaway boxes, sewer cooking oil, cadmium rice, holy smokes. The list goes on and on. One thing that's really coming out now is because of China's huge effort to industrialize, and because of the fact that they simply dump all of their effluent into the rivers wherever and whenever possible, a lot of the countryside is now being overwhelmed by toxic heavy metals. Would you explain what they are, Patty?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I think there's lots of variety, unfortunately. But, for example, we've heard about arsenic levels in food. Certain plants seem very good at taking arsenic out of the environment. And we've had that problem in the U.S. as well. That's not exclusive to China. You know, we've had a lot of discussion about arsenic in things like brown rice or brown rice syrup that you make from it, from apple juice, things like that. And we used to use arsenic-based agrochemicals. We used to use arsenic-based pesticides in orchards, and that arsenic can stay put, and then the tree can take it up, and it ends up in the apple. So things like that, it's kind of these legacy chemicals that don't break down. So we're hearing about things like arsenic and cadmium, copper, things like that, lead. You know, these are all unintended byproducts from some kind of industrial process, but if you put them on land where you're going to raise food, they could be a problem for a long, long time.
And they just become part of the food chain. Now, take us to, all of us around here are kind of like foodies, and we're all concerned about eating good, clean food. So when we go to the box store, we buy, you know, the things that say organic. Well, are they clean?
Well, I mean, organic tells you a lot of things. And organic is based on a couple of key elements. It's based on a set of standards that's defined by the USDA, so that's why it's USDA certified organic. Those rules are coming out of the USDA, And then the other key piece of organic is that you have these entities called certifying agencies who are going out to say, you know, this farm or this processing plant is meeting those standards. That's what organic is. It's a set of standards, and it's an inspection process to say those practices are being used. It isn't a test. It's not, you know, a stamp on the label that says this can was tested for chemicals, this apple was tested for chemicals. It's just not feasible. It's not a testing-based program. It's about what practices were used. And there is a pretty rigorous system that goes with that, to, with these certifiers, to go out and say that, you know, they're following those practices. One thing that we have seen, and USDA has even looked into this, is they did go to China. I believe it was in 2010, so a couple years ago. They did go to China, and they went to talk to those certifying agencies who were operating in China. And, you know, so that's why, so the products that are coming in from China that say USDA organic, they have gone through that same process. They're using the USDA practices that are the regulations, and somebody certified them and said, yes, they're doing it. So when USDA went there a few years ago to visit those certifiers, they did write up a report and said they had some concerns about what it means for a certifying agency to operate in China. And they used words like, you know, it's challenging oversight duties, and that there's potential, it's a big country, and it's, you know, the economy's changing so rapidly, and they did talk about the potential for problems. And then they actually did take action, I think, and they took one of those certifying agencies, the ability to do this away. They said you can't certify and say it's USDA organic anymore because they were concerned that the government had been involved in some of their inspections. So it's just, it adds another layer of complication.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and come back to that. And we don't want to ask, does the USDA certified organic preclude organic foods containing toxic heavy metals? And how do they certify? And all those things right back. Welcome back. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Today we have a question for you. If 20% of China's farmland and 90% of its surface waters are contaminated with toxic heavy metals, and if one-third of the organic food we import into the United States comes from China, then how much of the organic food we eat is contaminated with China's toxic heavy metals? Patty Lavera, does an organic label preclude foods containing toxic heavy metals?
I don't know if anything precludes a food possibly containing toxic heavy metals. I mean, I've never seen a label that I would say gets that done. What organic tells you is what practices were used to raise that food, that they weren't using additional chemicals of concern, synthetic pesticides, synthetic fertilizers, sewage sludge. It tells you that's what went into raising that food. The organic standards require organic farmers to have a plan about where they're raising things and soil health and things like that. So I think it provides you a lot more chance that it's coming from a clean soil, but I don't know that there's a 100% guarantee anywhere for that.
And the USDA went there a couple...
Yeah.
The USDA went to China a couple years ago and yelled at them for... not being very good at certifying. Do you think that cleared up the certification process in China?
Well, I think it was a good first step. People have been on the USDA to do that for quite a number of years, and it was progress that they finally went. I would prefer that they go pretty regularly, because I think they admitted in that report that it's a challenging environment to do this kind of certification in, so I think that they should go pretty regularly. We also want to see the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration in general, have a much bigger presence in China. They do very few inspections for all food in China, and so if we're going to keep bringing in food, no matter what kind, from a country with the kind of conditions we're seeing in China, we have to have a lot more presence there to give U.S. consumers some assurance.
I have this silly notion that the farther we go from the source of our food, the less control we have over our food. So, you know, food that we get from our backyard, we don't really need any government help superintending that stuff. But if we're buying food from the other side of the world, from people who don't know us and don't really care about us, perhaps that food should be superintended with armed guards. right? And those armed guards should follow that food all the way here. And that's just my notion. And the people who eat that food should have to pay for those armed guards, too. But that's kind of way out to lunch. But we have another question for you.
Patty, so just going back a little bit, you had said that the FDA inspects less than 2% of the food that we're importing. But I just wanted to kind of ask, so what do we mean in this case by inspection? You know, is there any analysis, or is this just looking at the food and saying it looks all right? Kind of what goes into that process?
Yeah, that's a great question. It can be a little bit of both. I mean, some inspections can be pretty quick, that it is what it says it is, you know, that it's the product that it says on the paperwork, et cetera. A smaller portion of that gets some kind of testing. So we've looked at it's very hard to get this data, and it's hard to work with when you do get it, but we have done some work over the years looking at this particular issue for seafood. And what we found is, you know, again, a low rate of inspection overall. Most of it just comes through at the border. But there is a subset of it that gets some laboratory testing. So that was less, you know, much less even than the 2% that got looked at in any way. And that's where you get, but that's when you see them being able to say there's a chemical residue problem, there's a, you know, a salmonella problem or something like that. It's a slightly different system for meat and poultry. Meat and poultry are just more regulated generally, so therefore they're also more regulated for imports. But we're having to really fight to defend what we have for border inspection for meat and poultry. We don't bring in meat and poultry yet from China, but we bring it in from a bunch of other countries, including Canada. And there's been a big push to try to kind of streamline our rules to match the Canadian rules and say that, and there's lots of meat companies and folks in the government who want to get rid of our border inspection for meat coming from Canada. And that makes us highly unhappy as well, because they regularly catch things. They catch problems because they have the ability to look at more of it, and we want to preserve that ability if we're going to keep bringing that product in from somewhere else.
Is this kind of an analogous to the garment trade, in which you know, some manufacturer of athletic shoes goes to China and, you know, sets up a factory and you know, takes advantage of conditions that you would never find here in the United States with respect to labor laws, with respect to environmental laws. And then they have somebody inspect it and say, you know, this is a good situation. And because they have that inspection, there's this plausible deniability about any wrongdoing on the manufacturer's part.
It's a very good question. And this is kind of the nature of third-party certification, right? I mean, it's the age-old question about whose responsibility is it to inspect these kind of things, and are they a credible source? You know, do you believe that they're there in an independent manner, et cetera? And so that is going to continue to be a critical question in our economy. In organic, you know, we have, of the food labels that are out there that have some kind of certification, I think organic has probably the most rigorous system. But we have to be vigilant to keep it that way, right? We have to make sure it stays that way. And a key part of that is the USDA itself continuing to do things like visit China and check out those certifiers operating there. You know, we really have to stay on top of it to make sure that we don't have the situation where it's kind of a rubber stamp and, oh, you know, this third party comes in, but everybody knows they're going to say it's fine, which we've seen in, you know, for garments and lots of other things. I don't think we're in that position for organic food, but we're going to have to stay on top of it to make sure that doesn't head in that direction. And the other concern that we have is stepping away from organic for processed foods and produce in general. You know, we passed a new law a couple of years ago about what FDA does on food safety. And when it comes to imports, they have said that they're going to rely very heavily on third parties to look at food safety practices in other countries. And that doesn't please us either, because I don't vote for third parties. Like, it's hard for me as a citizen of the United States to hold a third party accountable, and so we would prefer to see more government involvement in that, in the food safety enforcement for food in general, than relying on third parties all the time.
So we recently saw an article, gosh, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, but who knows, it was about organic eggs, and a big box store in Washington, D.C., the reporter was walking through the egg department and happened to notice that, holy smokes, the organic eggs had sold out. Well, why did the organic eggs sell out? Everybody wanted organic eggs. Where do you get organic eggs? Well, you feed chickens organic food. Where do you get organic food? Well, you can't get it much from the United States anymore because most farmers use GMO corn and soybeans. So you get it from China. And so you feed these chickens organic meals from China, which have been certified by who knows who and contains who knows what. And the chickens eat those organic foods from China and produce organic eggs that they sell for big bucks at the big box store. And somehow, I think we're missing out on something here. Somehow we're missing out on a piece of information. What is in those organic feeds and what is in us now? How much of that organic food now contains pesticides and toxic heavy metals from China? That's a question on the table today. What do you think out there? We're at 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Michael Olson, Anna Ringelman, and Patty Lavera, and you do stay tuned. Well, we're back. We're talking about organic foods. Yeah, we're all like a clean, right? We all love organic foods. We look for the organic label at the big box store and think we're getting a great deal. We're getting cheap food and we're getting clean food. And all we have to do is buy the organic food in the box. But wait a minute. Where the heck does that stuff come from? A lot of it is now coming from China. Now, if you look at China, China's government, a communist, totalitarian, socialist regime, just fessed up to the fact that 20% of its farmland, 80-90% of its surface water is contaminated with all kinds of bad things, including toxic heavy metals like cadmium, arsenic, who knows, mercury, all the good stuff from the industrialization of China. And that stuff finds its way into the food, and some of it is organic food. Patty Lavera, Food and Water Watch, is it possible, I'm trying to think about how you grow organic food in a dirty environment. I guess you just, what is the technology there?
Well, I think that varies tremendously. And ideally, if people are getting good advice and coming up with a good, you know, every organic operation is supposed to have a plan, a systems plan. They have done that work and they've tested their soil and they know, you know, where they can find good soil to do it. I mean, that, but we need to make sure that the certifiers are making them do that. And that's going to take oversight from our USDA going over there and saying, are you dealing with the special challenges we have in a place like this?
And the USDA did go over there once in 2010, which is like 4 years ago. And they did scold the Chinese certifiers, did even say one could not do it anymore. Do you think that solved the problem, Patty?
I think it was a step. I don't think that it would solve it. I think we need to have them keep going. It's a big country. There's going to be probably, you know, new entrants and new folks getting into it. So I think it's a matter of them going periodically to make sure that everybody's communicating the right, you know, the right instructions and the right conditions for doing this safely. And people had been asking the USDA to go for a long time, and we were pleased to see that they went in 2010, and it's probably time for them to go again.
Yeah, once every decade or so, that would be nice to know. You know, the U.S. demand for organic foods is going through the roof, jumped 11.5% to $35 billion last year, the fastest growth rate in 5 years. We're craving this stuff. We're begging for it. We're buying it wherever we can find it. And so that's the demand on the table right now. Anna, you have a question? Oh, push the button.
My question was just, when you look at the context of environmental pollution in China, when you look at the 90% of water that's contaminated, is it possible to produce healthy food in that environment?
You know, it's a good question, and it's hard to get the data to know. So I think we need a lot more data and a lot more communication, you know, coming from folks. folks that we think are credible. And I would prefer to, that to be, you know, the USDA and folks that are accountable to us going over and saying we can do this or we can't. Right now, I think there's just a huge void of information about how bad the problem is, how variable it is, you know, in different parts of that country. I think there's just a lot we don't know. So, you know, there's plenty of reason to be concerned. We're concerned. We're concerned about imports of food generally, from this, you know, consumer perspective about our safety. But we're also really concerned about the impact it has on our system here. I mean, this, whether it's organic or conventional food from places like China where they can do it so much cheaper, really harms the folks who are raising food here, who we want to keep in business. You know, we want to raise food here. We want to have it produced closer to home. And it's hard for them to do that in an economic marketplace that's where they're constantly being undercut. And, you know, despite a lot of, if you look at part of the economic signs from organic, they're very positive, right? On the demand side, it's very positive. It's a market that's growing. But we're not adding U.S. farmers to organic fast enough. We're not getting more acres in organic in the U.S. We think in part because these imports are undercutting them in the marketplace, and it's not worth all the extra costs to raise it organically if they're not going to get more of that consumer dollar back in their pocket. And that's why we're seeing imports fill this gap. So there's a bunch of reasons to be concerned about imports.
You know, there was one of the statistics that kind of stuck out when we were preparing the program, and that was the ratio of U.S. organic farmers to U.S. organic processors. There seems to be an incredible imbalance there. There's so few organic farmers and so many organic processors. They have to get their stuff there to process from someplace, and a lot of it is coming from China. You know, this week we heard where the USDA is buying submachine guns and body armor. Maybe that's what they're going to use it for, to go over to China and inspect the third-party certifiers. What do you think, Patty?
I kind of assumed that was for the Forest Service, but I don't know. I don't come to that for organic certification.
Must be for somebody. So we do have certification. And yet the certification process seems to be inspecting everybody, looking at so few, and testing even a lot fewer. So are we catching anything that comes across at all?
You mean for import?
Yeah.
It's a good question. I mean, I know that there have been at least a few companies that have lost their organic certificates, you know, that says you are organic because of problems that were found, and we need the USDA to stay on top of that to make sure that the folks who are doing it right, you know, that the certificate's worthwhile for them. So we need them to stay on top of that. And periodically you'll see a press release about that from the USDA about such and such company
We're going to have to take a quick break.
We need
one more question for Patty Olivera. You seem to think that the USDA can pull this together. So when we get back, I'd like to ask you, Patty, why do you think the government can make this work? Do stay tuned. We will be right back. Well, folks, it's the food we eat. It's the clean food we eat. It's the organic food we eat. We all crave cheap food. We all crave clean food. So we go to the big box store and we buy organic food. And we get it cheap. But according to Michael Olson's third law of the food chain, cheap food isn't. And part of the reason why that cheap food might not be cheap is for the absolute desecration of China in manufacturing things that we wear and we use and we eat. And part of the byproduct of that manufacturing process is the pollution that's finding its way into China's farmlands, into its soils, into its rivers, into its surface waters, and of course, into the food that we're buying from China. Anna?
Oh, hi, Patty. So I just have one kind of closing question that I wanted to ask you. And that's, so beyond the USDA, which I personally, as a student, as a young person, as a mother, I don't really feel that I can hold them accountable for food safety. So what can consumers do to try and express their demand for organic food that really lives up to what we want from it, from the cleanliness, the you know, health. So what can consumers really do in this situation?
Sure. I mean, the most obvious thing is to figure out where stuff comes from. On a lot of foods, we do get labels. We do get country of origin labels, which we had to fight to change the law to get. And I mean, the industry attacks all the time, but we need those labels to know where stuff is coming from. And even on canned foods and things, usually in the fine print, you can find the source. So figure out where it's coming from and buy it as close as you can, and then tell the companies you're doing that. And, you know, the closer you can get, just like we talked about earlier, the closer you can get, the more you know. So we love when people can buy local. But if you're in an environment where you're shopping in a store where you can't talk to the producer of that food, you do have to use labels. And USDA Organic is one that does have some structure around it. And we just have to constantly make sure that we like what those standards are and that structure is working. And it's a burden on us as consumers, but with the way a lot of folks shop, we do need those labels because we can't have that conversation. I think if we all do more to get closer to the producers, I think that's great, and that helps us have a lot more trust in what we're buying.
Patty, what about the organic eggs at the big box store that say organic eggs, and they're eggs from chickens that came from Petaluma or Boston or who knows where, and yet those chickens were fed with the grains, the soy, and the corn from the soils of China?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, we talked to organic grain growers in the Midwest, and they're very worried about these imports undercutting them. So I think that's another thing we can do is to call those companies, look at their website, see what they say, and tell them, we want you to spend the money to buy American organic grain and increase that supply here by paying those guys what they need to get paid to do it here, where we can have more confidence in it. And I think we're going to have to really communicate to these companies that we expect that. And that's going to take a while, and we're going to have to build that up so they understand that the demand is the whole way through the supply chain.
Well, I don't know. What do you think out there? How much of the organic food we eat contains China's toxic heavy metals? Big thanks to Patty Lavera, Assistant Director, Food and Water Watch. Thank you for watching over our food and water out there in Washington, D.C. Patty, I wish I shared your faith in the USDA, but I like your idea of putting pressure on the manufacturers. UC intern producer Anna Ringelman, thank you so much for putting the show together today. Thank you all for tuning in. More next week, What's Eating What Radio, right here on the Food Chain. Your turn next, Kristen.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.